Welcome to Defining Tanya. We're holding an iron. Okay, last time, which was a few weeks ago, we talked about Avodah Zarah. Now we're at Oinshim, which translates as punishments. But I've translated it as the natural consequence that rectifies damage created by transgression. That's
Yeah.
Oinshim are. Oinshim are. So you've got what's called intrinsic and extrinsic reward, and it goes to punishment as well. But in regards to reward, the teacher tells her second graders that she wants them to clean up the classroom, and everybody who helps is going to get an ice lolly. You call it an ice lolly in America? What do you call
I
it?
don't know what that is.
Like with a stick with the ice thing. What do they call
Oh,
it?
popsicle.
No, but with a stick, with a wooden stick. Call that a popsicle still?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, a popsicle. In England, you call it an ice lolly. Okay, so you have a. So she says you clean up the classroom, you're going to get a popsicle. Yeah.
Nice lolly.
That's the reward, yeah? The reward for the kids is you clean the classroom, you get a popsicle. She could have said anything. She could have told them they'll get a holiday in Hawaii, a brand new tent. She could do whatever she wanted to. She could have said, "There's no kesher bichlal between cleaning up a classroom and getting a popsicle. Zero. That's called an extrinsic reward. Yeah, not connected. The teacher. What's the teacher's reward for having the classroom cleaned up?
A clean classroom?
A duke. That's called an intrinsic reward." That's completely linked. So it's not like, someone says to you, well, it's like, what? So what's the reward for working out? There's a reward for working out if you're healthy. That's an intrinsic reward where you turn around to your kid and say, listen, if you go for a run 3 times a week, I'll give you $50. Yeah, that's an extrinsic reward. So Oinshim and the Torah are all intrinsic, not extrinsic. And you can learn, huh?
But do you see them? Do you see it? Like with intrinsic, all the messages you set, all the like you work out, you feel good, or you want a clean classroom, you get a clean classroom. But how do you know the Onesh? How do you know?
Ah, okay, good. So we're told in the Torah what the Oinshim are. So in Tanya, he speaks about a bunch of different Oinshim. We're going to talk about this now. So the he gives in. Is it chapter 8? It's chapter 8, I think. Or 7? No, chapter 8. Where he goes through so there's a bunch of things. He talks about four different things, yeah? Eating food, eating kosher food in an indulgent, selfish way. Yeah, that's the first avail he talks about. Then he talks about talking nonsense that isn't Lashon Hara, but just wasting time, which isn't available. And he's talking about someone who's not a Talmud Chacham, like an Am Haaretz. Because if it's Talmud Chacham, then it's an aveira of not learning Torah. If he's, but we're talking about a guy who doesn't really know Torah, so he's just talking about the baseball, let's say, okay. Then we've got forbidden speech. He talks about actually Lashon Hara and Letzoinus, etc. And then he speaks about not doing mitzvahs that you're meant to do. This is a really big topic. We could talk about this for a long time. But I'll work on Achas, okay? So for eating food that is permissible for selfish purposes. Yeah, the person has to go through what's called chibut hakever. That's basically, it means, it translates as the beating in the grave, yeah? I always thought it meant the rotting of the corpse in the grave. But I think that's really what it means. It means the breaking apart of the corpse, of the goof, while it's in the ground. Okay? And that's what it says by Rabbeinu Kodesh, he the by Rebbe who authored the Mishnah. When he died, he lifted up his little finger, his pinky, and he said, "I didn't take this much oinig from the world bichlal." So l'chaira, like we know that the tzaddikim, their bodies don't disintegrate. Yeah, as we've had as we've been passed down. Yeah, that's what we're told.
I thought that was specifically linked to jealousy.
Not that I know of. It's
What?
not. I mean, well, Rebbeinu could just put his finger up, put his pinky up, and said, "I didn't take this much pleasure from the world." That idea of not deriving pleasure from the world for yourself for selfish purposes, yeah, that is the main reason why the tzaddikim's bodies don't rot in the ground, apparently. So we're told. I don't know if that's like mamash or if it means like on some kind of spiritual level. I don't know what that means, but the what we learn from it is important. So when a person eats l'shem tainug for the sake of pleasure, yeah, then he has to endure having his body broken apart. Why? Why is that a tikkun? The
Because
oynesh.
he took his body so seriously.
Makes it a little tired. So that's basically it. Is that he? You eat for one of two purposes, yeah.
Oneg.
Or
Lashem.
no, you eat for one of two purposes, either for pleasure or for koyach.
Sustainability, yeah.
Energy. So in the week, we're meant to be eating for koyach, and in on Shabbos, we're meant to be eating for oineg. Okay, when you're eating in the week for oineg, remember eating for oineg is an end unto itself. Eating for koyach means you're eating as a means to an end. What's the end? If you're eating for oineg, what's the end?
Hashem.
No, on the week, if you're eating for oineg,
Oh, for the week, oh, the week.
is
If
you.
you're eating for to yourself.
You're the end. Yeah.
Okay.
So now that's true. That is what's the word? That is not,
Selfish.
yeah, that's sheker. You're not an end unto yourself. You're not an end. Sheker is not eternal. Emes is eternal, yeah? You're not eternal. And so anything done for you as an end unto itself is drafting this world, excuse me, is drafting this world into sheker. And sheker falls away eventually. So when a person eats for his own pleasure, the body, that food becomes part and parcel of his body, yeah? So then he dies, and that wasn't true. That was a self-worship, so to speak, and that has to be taken away. That dissolves, that disintegrates, that just goes away.
So does
That's
my clip. He also goes away.
just like my, yeah. We're down to, I'm going to be just be me in a minute.
You
That,
manage to left? Oh, yeah. Okay, but can I just say a couple questions?
yeah.
Why is it an onesh that your body falls apart after you're dead? Why is that a punishment? Also, your mantra a little bit is not to worry about punishment, or we don't worry about punishment too much.
It's not there. We just don't think about it, but
But it's definitely there.
of
And
course.
then so then my next question also, if you don't mind me asking, is I didn't clarify my question earlier. I wasn't making sense. When you were talking about earlier about wanting to work out and it's a direct correlation to feeling healthy. So I'm trying to understand what you're saying here. It sounds like you're trying to make the connection. What is it because you take yourself so seriously and you think you're into yourself, therefore you need to break apart? That's the connection. Therefore you need to break apart now.
It's better than that. It's
Okay.
you eat your food, yeah?
I just ate, for example. Wasn't that great? Thank
Okay.
God.
Let's say you just ate something really yummy and you didn't need to eat, and it was just for your pleasure, yeah? That food becomes part of your body.
like spiritually.
No. What do you think your body's made out of?
Yeah, but if I were to eat for Oneg, if I were to eat for Toelis, okay, and not for Oneg, what? That wouldn't be part of my body?
Yes, it would.
So they're both part of my body.
So stick with me. Eating becomes part of your body
Yes.
for pleasure or for koyach. If you're eating for koyach so that you can serve Hashem, that act is a true act. Truth endures forever.
Okay.
If you're eating for your own pleasure,
Checker.
that act is a false act.
Okay.
Sheket has to eventually dissolve.
Okay.
So now that the consequence of your eating for energy, so you could serve Hashem, there's a byproduct, not that you just get energy, is that you get a bit more goof, yeah? Get a bit
Okay.
fat.
Great class. Great class. So
Yeah.
interesting. What an interesting take on it. It never hurts to think.
So,
Really, yeah.
when you eat for koyach, that food becomes part of your body. We're talking about koyach to serve Hashem, yeah? Then that's part of truth and reality. So that flesh, that you turn that apple or that burger or that pizza into your bossa, Vadam. Well, that's true. That creation of that transmutation of the food into your bus of a dumb is a true that's true because it's drafted into the void into Avodas Hashem. So that won't be taken away. That's part of truth. Whereas a person who's eating for their own oneg, meaning they're the end, they're a god unto themselves, that's not true. That's false. So that gets taken away. So when the Tanya, and he brings it from the Zohar Kodesh, talks about chibbutz kever for indulging in food, permissible food, that the oinesh is, it sounds like an oinesh. It's like, would you say that, would you use the word, would you say, Rahman al-Islam, that lung cancer is a punishment for smoking?
Yes.
Use that word. Would you use that word punishment?
No.
You wouldn't, would you? It's not, it's out of place.
Consequence.
The consequence. So schar and oinesh are consequences. That's what they are. So when you've got it, if you look, you could look it up online. There's a sefer called Reishis Chochma. You've heard of the sefer? It's a famous sefer by one of the Talmidim of the Arizal. And he has, it was like, excuse me, the ultimate Musa book written, like 400 years ago, 450 years ago. And it's all called Sha'ava, Sha'yira, Sha'yichud. So there's the gate of Yira, yeah? The gate of fear. And he talks about the seven Madregas of Gehenna. And what happens, the final Madrega of Gehenna, is you get boiled in Zera. The level before that, you get boiled in Soya.
So, how is that?
Soya. It's like what you.
Sorry for asking. I don't know. Okay. I'm just
It's going to the bathroom.
excrement.
Excellent. There you go. Yeah, not number ones. So you're like, wow, that's whacked out. You're getting boiled in Zera for, I think it was Avodah Zarah, I can't remember. And then you're getting boiled in Soya for like whatever the things is. And then there's all, I can't remember them, but there's all the, it's crazy Oinshim. You get hung up by your nipples and stuff like that, like on hooks, and you get whipped with lashes of fire. And like, I'm telling you should look it up. It's you'll have a field day. It's not very B'nai Aliyah. It's not very B'nai Aliyah dick, but it's, anyway. So if you read that as an unsophisticated, whatever, pashtun, then you walk away with a, this is what happens. Oh, it's not real. It's not like it's spiritual tsoya and it's spiritual zera and it's spiritual whips of fire and it's spiritual nipples and hooks. But that's not the point of it. What it's trying to do, what the Zohar is doing in its normal, very concealed way, is trying to reveal to you what you did. Once you've understood what soya is, what excrement is, and you've understood what it means getting cooked in something, then you'll be able to work out what actually happens. What is it that you actually, what damage did you cause when you did that Aveira? And the same with Zera and the same with all the other things that he goes through. Those crazy, esoterical, mystical stories or explanations for whatever's going on, all of that is there to help you understand what you actually did wrong. You with me? Yitzi, you got that? So now the oinesh for indulging in your own pleasures, let's say the consequence of indulging in your own pleasures is called chibur tekeva, because that part of your body that became part of your body in a way of sheker, and that sheker has to dissolve. That's what death is about. Death is about the dissolution of sheker. That's what death is. Death is to get rid of sheker. Only Sheker dies. Emes never dies. Even though Emes, you know why Emes never dies? Because Emes is Lashon Amus. I will die. That's what Emes means. Michael, you still got that website, MS.com?
Yeah, I just spoke to the rabbi I'm working with to for the coding part of it yesterday, and we're creating a schedule to work on it together.
Wow.
I mean, it's going to, I expect my goal is January. I mean, I want to expect it's going to be a few months to put it together, but I want to get it out there so that I can start revising it and working on it.
Well, so anyway, MS means Aleph Mem Saf is Emes, I will die. Meaning that I will die because that's not real. Your feeling of the fact that you're independent is not real. It's not that it's an illusion or a delusion.
Is this your Kiddush of the Aleph Mace, or this is like in Svarim?
No, I just said that. No, I've never saw that before. But if that's what the word actually is,
Beautiful.
I will die. That's what MS means. It doesn't translate as it says it's truth, but it's the same word, same letters. I will die. That is true. True means that I, dies. It dissolves. There's no, it's not, it's, it returns back to the ground where it's from. You are not meant to feel separate from reality. You're not meant to feel that there's me and everything else. That is false. And the tzaddikim don't feel like that. Remember, like we said many times in the Haggadah, the most clear definition that I know of from Chazal for anything is who's the Rasha? HaYetzias. He takes himself out of the klal. Mashen kein the tzaddik. Who puts himself into the klal? The tzaddik doesn't see. He can't like the tzaddik, like they said the Arizal would never pluck a leaf off a tree. And people are like, wow, that's such a. You're like, why would you pluck a leaf off a tree? I mean, if you need to, you need to, and he would also if he needed to. Like for sukkahs, I'm sure he pluck, would have plucked leaves off trees if he needed to, but. Otherwise, why would you? Or like to kill a bug? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you kill a bug? Why couldn't you just like, help him get out of the way? Or just, that's just that feeling of we're all in it together. Every not just me and you and my family. The whole thing, everything. Everything, we're all part of one big team. We're all part of a big organization called Hashem Incorporated. That's what we are. That's what we're part of. So anyway, that was Amos. That was Amos. Okay. So the point what we're trying to get across is that the actual Oinesh, yeah, which is the consequence, it's a consequence of the act. Like the punishment for smoking is lung cancer, yeah? And the reward for diligently working and making intelligent decisions and investments in your business, the reward is a bunch of money. That's how the world works. And one of these things, like one of the things that you learn in yeshiva about how there's no kesher between the hishtadlus and the hatzlacha, is very simplistic. Like I appreciate that it's true, but there's much more. It's much more sophisticated than that, you know. Because you see, there is tucker. You know, you see that. Like, I know that, like, as an internet marketer, you see clearly that when you approach something in the right way, you strategize correctly, you tick all the boxes, you use, you know, you adhere to the rules of marketing, etc. There's a very good chance you're going to be Matzliach, and the opposite as well. So although I do understand that the Rebbe Shlomo is in charge of everything, to just make a blanket statement that there's no kesher between your hishtadlus and what you get, yeah, probably doesn't come from somebody who's spent a lot of time in business. Those statements are not given by. Now, Yitzi, how do you feel when you hear people like you? You know, you were in a very successful business, yeah? How
Yeah.
do you know what it's you know what it means? Yeah? How do you feel when you hear people say there's no
No, I
bichlal?
agree with you 100%. I had a phone call recently with somebody who's trying to do a similar business, trying to start it up, and asking me a bunch of questions. This is like an extra layer on it. But to me,
Wait,
the
what did you
problem
say
with
first? You said when
I
when.
agree with everything you said. I agree with everything you
It's
said.
too simplistic. Like, you know, it's like if you walk into a, it just doesn't work the way that
If
they say in yeshivas.
you put in the work, most likely
Yeah,
you're going to
most
see a benefit. You're going to consequence is going to be something good for the most part. There's always something that comes up. But an extra layer to it is a guy who's trying to do something similar. He has all these questions and he's asking. And there's one thing that he doesn't have, and that is he's not desperate enough. He's very comfortable in his lifestyle, and so he doesn't want it enough. And so even though he's putting in the work, he doesn't have the drive that, like, I need this. It's this or nothing. And so sometimes, if you don't have that drive, maybe you won't see that same consequence.
But that isn't what. Why is that different to just putting in the energy? Is that a separate? You're looking at that as separate, something separate from
It's
the.
just an added layer. It's just an added layer.
But Bekitzer, to just say there's absolutely no kesher between what you do and what you get is just. It's so much more complex than that. Like, I understand Aliba de Emes. If you dial the resolution down all the way down, yeah, it's true. But there's just so much more to it. Because Hashem wants you to be Makadosh. Like, you know how many books I've learned on marketing, like on internet marketing and on like small business, you know, like sale funnels and all this kind of stuff, yeah? And we saw Yitzi, we saw amazing Hatzlacha with the Blessed Life just now, yeah? I checked all of the boxes. I've spent many hours learning all this stuff. And I did the whole thing according to everything that I've learned, and there was Hatzlacha. And of course, it's the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But you realize that I was Mekaddish a lot of books. The fact that I put in all that hours of learning and all the technology and all the things that I've learned and all the things that I can build, all that kind of stuff, yeah? And then I bugged people to give the testimonials and all that stuff, yeah? When you do that whole thing, you realize how much of the world gets an elevation. It's just so, you know, like you hear the story of the Baal Shem Tov used to knock on a door and run away. That was his hishtadlus, yeah. I don't want to take away from that story, but in our generation, we're lifting up more than they could ever have dreamed of. Like we've said many times, look at right now, yeah. You got Michael Yitzi. You guys are sitting in, in Pico Beverly area in Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm in Yerushalayim, and you realize what is actually how much of the world. Like, let's say we're doing something very good. We're learning Torah, yeah, and that's for Hashem. Think of how much of the world is being elevated to Hashem. The power plant in Jerusalem and the power plant in LA. Yeah, then you've got the little Chinese people who built my HP screen, and you've got yours, and just you've got my microphone, you've got you could never finish talking about how many things got elevated. As opposed to, 200 years ago, you'd sit in a wooden base medrash, yeah, with your cow outside and a horse and buggy, with a couple of candles. Look at what's going on. It's insane. So now when I learn these marketing strategies from, Joe Schmo, who put out this book that sold 1 million copies, I'm now being Makadosh all of his brain power. That guy who wrote that book that I learned, I read this book, yeah, a couple of times, and I learned all of this amazing marketing strategy, yeah. It took him like 30 years to work that out. 30 years to work out all these techniques, and he wrote them down all in one book for me to read. So I just hupped 30 years of his hishtadlus in Olam Hazeh, and I turned it into a Torah dicker thing. Let's say it wasn't even Torah. Let's say it was for my photography business. Let's say, yeah. Then I take all of his 30 years of hard work, yeah. He creates a book, then there's the paper of the book and the ink, etc., yeah, and a lot of other stuff. I take all that information and I play those rules, I play them out, and you get people now going, wow, that's good, that makes sense. Oh, the guarantee, that's a good thing. Oh, and all these people really like it, etc., yeah. You know, I'm gonna buy it. Here you go, here's $500. I get that $500, I go down to the butcher down my street. And I buy 18 triangles of chicken for Shabbos. And we have a bunch of guests for Shabbos. And we all eat the chicken. You hear what happened? Joe Schmo, sitting in Vancouver, who wrote that book, 15 years ago, his whole world just went whoop up to the bonus show. So to say that, oh, that's how it works. That's how it works. So it's not a, that's how it works. That's how you lift the world up to the bonus shalom through the hishtadlus. It's the that and that was one of the biggest chiddushim of the Hasidim, is the inyan of hachana. What's the inyan of hachana? Of preparation. Well, preparation was so important to the Hasidim. Love dafka because it gave you more of a. That for sure, that was also. But the whole inyan of Chasidus is bringing the entire world to the Rabbeinu Shloim. So Hachana is not part of the mitzvah, but it's bringing more things into the mitzvah. You're getting the mitzvah's everything, yeah? Without the mitzvah, there's nothing. Like, Yitzi, remember what we're talking about with the lulav and esrog? And I'm in Dveikus with that beautiful music, and then I've got the lulav and esrog, and I'm like, wait, what's more, the lulav and esrog or this gorgeous feeling that I'm having right now? I'm like, what are you talking about? There's an infinite difference. The lulav and esrog is a mitzvah mamash. That feeling of me going like that has relevance in context of the mitzvah. But you could go to some other club and, I don't know, hold a watermelon and have the right music and have the same feeling. Yeah, what's that? And I know people are very, people go through some intense experiences in the secular world, some very intense experiences. Yeah. So what is the experience? It's great. It's like watching a nice TV movie. It's like watching a nice movie or eating a nice piece of cake or having, some other nice experience. But what's really choshev is the mitzvah. And when that experience is connected to the mitzvah, then bang, the whole thing, not just the lulav and the esrog. Yeah, that's givaldik. That's essential. But then you've got the hidden mitzvah of my heart and my mind and my feelings and the music and all of that stuff. But it's all without the mitzvah, it's garnished. It's just kugel. It's just nothing. It's just eating a bar of chocolate. So that was the whole avoda of the Hasidim, is to bring the whole world back to Boshem. So that's why the Chachana became such an important thing, and that's why in our generation we can't, this idea of, oh, hishtadlus, it's just a joke. It's not a joke. It's how we bring the world up to the Boshem Shalom. So let's finish off now with the other Oishim. Hi, how are you, everyone? Sorry, how are you, Michael? How are you, Yitzi?
Great to see you.
You too. Sorry to
Hi,
disturb.
I'm good to see you. I missed your statuses. You always have good stuff. You had amazing stuff over Sukkot. I loved every place you went was so fun.
Thank you.
Okay. Next time you gotta tell me where to go.
Yeah. Which I'm finishing? How much time? What? I'm finishing. No, 5 minutes, 10 minutes max. Okay, let me. So now, what about permissible idle chatter? Meaning you're not saying anything nasty. It's not Lashon Hara. You're just talking shtuyot, bittul Torah. Yeah, you just. Oh, it's not bittul Torah actually. It's just talking shtuyot. Is there going to be a consequence of that?
Sure.
What's the consequence?
Wasting time, which is.
The punishment is what's called kafa kela.
Oh, yeah.
Kafa kela, the slingshot, you get a phone from one side of the world to the next.
That's your
I never.
Sheish Taub.
Well,
Your Sheish Taub example.
heard me saying this. Yeah, so I never heard a better thing than that. But Rav Taub explained that what it really means is that it's like davening. You're having a really intense davening. And you've got an old guy behind you talking to another old guy behind you. I don't know why it's an old guy, but there's someone, but it's because of the shuls that I'm in. The guys who speak in the ones who speak in shul where you are, it's the kids. Where I am, it's the old men. So you're davening, you're in a real Dveikus Dikur experience with your Rebbeinu Shloim, and then you've got Harry behind you, moaning about his lawnmower breaking. To Chaim, and you're like davening, and then you hear the lawnmower thing, and you're like, what? And they've got a Suzuki, and you've also got a Suzuki, so it catches your attention, and then you're like listening because he's talking about the way the petrol thing works, and you had a problem with that as well, and then you realize you're like, what are you doing? And you're back to davening again. Yeah, that's what you said kafa kela is, because if you allow your interest to be, if you allow yourself to be very interested by the things of this world, like genuinely interested by them, well, then when you're standing in front of the Bnei Shalom and you've got all of these memories stuck with you, you're going to be getting distracted. That's called kafa kela. So again, it's a consequence of the act. Yeah. Forbidden speech, he says, is Gehenna. Yeah, Gehenna is a place of like deep cleaning. It's like a hot place where they clean you deep. So you've got like, if you get talcum powder on, you call it talcum powder, yeah? If you get talc or whatever, you've got talcum powder on your jacket, yeah, you just go like that. Yeah. If you drop some spaghetti bolognese, yeah, then you have to get some water and you clean it off, yeah. If you get, heavy oil on your garment, then you have to take it to the dry cleaner. There's madrigas of cleaning. Depends how deep it goes. So Lashon Hara is a very deep aveira. Lashon Hara goes deep. It's to do with the tongue, it's to do with the mouth. It's the same with eating forbidden foods. It goes very deep into a mensch. It's the midah of yesod. Yeah, well, it's the malchus, sorry, the tongue, whatever it is. Yeah, which is there's a deep. I mean, you know why? Like, because that the pleasure of talking about other people, yeah, is such an intense pleasure. Gossiping. I mean, you see it. You see the look how much money is made in the world from gossiping. It's just crazy. There's a deep, intense pleasure there. That's a deep issue, and that needs some serious fixing. So that he says it needs Gehenna, and then he speaks about the idea of Bittul Torah, and like being over and mitzvahs asay, like not doing things that come to your hand. He says that you need you need Gehenna shel sheleg. Yeah, the snowy, pardon me, the snowy Gehenna. Why? Because it's a coldness. It you didn't do it. I mean, like that's cold. Like when you're not when you know if you miss your wife's birthday. I got a great when we got married, my wife's uncle is a funny guy, and he said a few things. One of the things he said is the ultimate segula. The ultimate segula for never, ever, ever forgetting your wife's birthday is you forget it one time. Forget it one time, and that's it. You'll never forget it again. But the whole thing about forgetting to do something for someone, it's a coldness. It's cold. It's like what you were saying, Yitzi, about when you really want something, you know, that smacks of energy and it smacks of heat. Of heat. That's what it is. It's heat. So when you're like not, you know, you don't do this, you don't do that, it's cold. And that means the fixing. So he says that the Oynesh is Gehenim Shel Sheleg. That's the consequence. I'll tell you want to, what I think I said this to my son the other day, and I think this is true. The six most important words that I know, that
You know you have, we know you have four. Now you've,
even before the four,
oh goodness.
even before making and keeping promises, literally the Hebrew words, the six most important Hebrew words I know. Yeah, and it's not Shema Yisrael. Chaim, you listening? Chaim.
No.
Chaim, listen. The six most important Hebrew words that I know, yeah? It's you ready?
Yeah, I went through it. Tell me.
Mitzvah goreres mitzvah, aveira goreres aveira. That's called the upward or the downward. That's it, and everyone knows it. You do an aveira. It's unless you mamash exert yourself and rip yourself out, you're going down, man. And when you do something good, you're on an upward trajectory, mamash. So that's Oyin Shim aren't Hashem beating you up. Oyin Shim are the way the world works. Yeah, you eat pizza and chips and fries and you know greasy hamburgers for long enough. Yeah, you're gonna have to pay the price. That costs you. Like I keep saying to my son. My son's just getting married, yeah, in 3 weeks now. Very exciting. And he was lying in bed. He got up at like 12:30 one day, yeah, 12:30 p.m. And I said to him, you know, when you get married, that costs you. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, when your wife, see, it doesn't matter what you did last night. When your wife sees you lying in bed until 10 o'clock in the morning, that costs you. It costs. It really costs. And everything you do when you get married, it all starts to cost much more than when you're not married. Everything costs. Everything you say costs or profits. Yeah? Say something nice to your wife. Yeah? It usually costs me. But if you say something nice to your wife, it could reap rewards. Not, again, not in this selfish, like self. That's just how Hashem made the world. Reward and punishment is baked into the very fabric of this world. That's what we call principles. That's what we call in the blessed life principles. That's called reward and punishment. Yeah, the reward for being trustworthy is people trust you. The reward for being respectable is people respect you. The reward of working hard for people and giving to people. People like you. The reward or the punishment, yeah, for not being on time is that eventually people will or stop to trust you on in certain ways, whatever it is. That's all reward and punishment. The whole world, like you see, the Rabbinism loves reward and punishment. You put a lot of money and time, you put a lot of time and energy into a business deal. There's a good chance, yeah, if you're intelligent as well, there's a good chance that there's going to be a reward from that. And if you just, put a, makeshift thing together just before the meeting, whatever it is, there's a good chance that you'll get punished for that. That's what it is. So reward and punishment is a very kind of religious way of saying it, but we're just talking about consequences. And so in chapter eight, when the Rebbe talks about reward and punishment, he only does it. He doesn't do it in a kind of like trying to scare you into line kind of way. Yeah, he's just telling you how it is. This is just how it is. And then you learn from how it is the damage that you cause. So, okay, Shkoyach. Next week we're talking about Akum, being a human being.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, have a
Have a good
stress.
night. Thank you.
Have a good day, Colter Brothers.
That was great. Thank you.